Good morning, everyone. 6:30 a.m. here in the lovely San Francisco, California. My name is Schmitty, and I'm about to bring you a podcast called Talking Schmidt. Today, we got my homie from Redwood City. It's Andrew Lange. We're going to catch up with him today down at Skateworks in Los Altos. Big shout out to the Screwbeam family. Thank you for letting us do it. And let's hear from the Blood Wizard campaign and get into this.
Blood Wizard. Blood Wizard. Blood Wizard. Blood Wizard! Shop.bloodwizard.com.
What's up? This is Andrew Lange, and you're listening to Talking Schmidt.
Hey,
Talking Schmidt.
I'm already not watching.
It's cool, like tonight is the night.
Damn, this is like the coolest thing I'm ever gonna do.
I wouldn't say it was fun.
What do you mean? Well, Christian Fletcher's younger brother.
Fuck the Dodgers.
Oh, big dog's in. What do you think, Dolan?
John? Schmidt?
Talking Schmidt.
Alpha Macaroni.
Most of these guys, their opinion don't matter.
Talking Schmidt, right?
It's skateboarding.
I remember that.
Talking Schmidt.
What are Yuns doing?
Holy shit.
Skateboarding homies.
No, Schmidt, you can't jump in.
What is happening?
I'm here for Greg Smith. Yay!
Gregory.
Yes, we are.
Wi-Fi check one, Wi-Fi check two.
Check this out, guys. Three cameras. I got a GoPro, I got an HVX, I got a GH5, I got it all. And I also got my bro right here, Andrew Lange, for y'all. We're down here in Skateworks, Los Altos, California. Big shout out to Jason Strubing. Think you did some time here.
I did, yeah, I did. He did, I grew up in the shop originally in Redwood City. Then they closed down that shop, moved here to Los Altos. And yeah, I got hired here, started doing skate lessons and teaching the youth how to skate through the ways that I learned. And yeah, provided me with a home for a while.
Hold on, shout out.
Yeah.
All right, back to the program. Were you born in Redwood City?
I was born at Mills Hospital, San Mateo, but I grew up in Redwood City, so which I know that you were born in Redwood City, right?
Yeah, Kaiser.
Yeah. So, yeah, grew up in Redwood City, grew up skating Phil Shaw Memorial Skate Park. Once that park opened up, I think it was 2002, I believe. Redwood City was my home. And it's a great place.
Were you already skating when the park opened, or did the park kind of help you to realize you wanted to start skating?
The park did help me realize I wanted to start skating more. I had messed around. I had like a little Toys R Us or Target board that I was riding around, but not like doing anything, like any tricks or stuff like that. But once the park opened up, I was there every day before school, after school, bought my first real skateboard from Skateworks. It was actually an Anti-Hero board. I was like 11 years old at the time. So I think it was like an 825 Anti-Hero board, and it was just super wide, but I just liked the eagle, so that's the whole reason why I wanted it. But and then yeah, just hit the skate park every day.
What was some of the things that the park that you gravitated towards? Like, were you kind of going around the outside, or were you an instant tranny guy? Like, what was the big hit there? I know that park has like a spine, a bowl, some outside stuff.
Instantly gravitated to the transition part, just because I played Tony Hawk's Pro Skateboarder, watched a lot of skate X Games stuff. And so the vert stuff and the bowl stuff always intrigued me. So as soon as I got to the skate park, I was immediately drawn to that part of the park. The street stuff I can care less about. Eventually I started skating that stuff later, but bowls and trannies, vert walls, that's all I really cared about, and that's what was most fun to me.
What was your knowledge of Phil Shao? Like, when did you kind of understand who he was, that he was from Redwood City, all that?
It wasn't until some years later, through Greg Carroll, he had told me some stories about Phil. Greg Carroll, yeah, Mike Carroll's brother. Mm-hmm. Greg had told me some stories about Phil, and then I did some research, and then I realized, like, oh, shoot, like, this guy's from Redwood City, he's a legend, like, dude, he can skate tranny and street, dude, all around, like, just rad dude, and, you know, the stories that I heard, and, Yeah, it was cool to grow up skating a park that's, you know, that was built for him.
You pretty close to the park?
Yeah, about a mile away.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the first like interaction with like maybe a pro or a demo or did you start working at Skateworks and somebody came in? Like, what was kind of your beginning stages of like, whoa, this is bigger than just me on a skateboard?
My first interaction with a pro was Steve Capp.
Okay.
So yeah, he came to
North
the park.
Legend.
Yeah, he came to the park and
to Redwood City.
Yeah. And I remember it's like, oh dude, that's the guy from Tony Hawk's Pro Skater right there. And like, I was just super like starstruck, and then watching him skate, and you know, this is probably about like maybe a year into skateboarding for me, so I wasn't like really doing all that great at skateboarding, but I remember watching him skate and I was like, okay, I want to learn that trick. And I remember I got his autograph, he signed my helmet, gave me some stickers. Really rad dude. That was like the coolest moment that has stuck with me, like from the time that I started skateboarding.
Later in life, did you get to know Stevie and kind of tell him that story?
Yeah, so I think maybe 2 years later, he had came back to the park. I think he was with some of like the Enjoy dudes. I think Caswell was there and
Eversol
was there, yeah. And then they were going on some filming mission, and I was skating the bowl. I was a little bit, you know, better at that time at skateboarding, and I was skating the bowl, and then he then came up to me, was like, you know, he's like, hey, I like your skating, you know, like you should come skating with us. And so I started going out skating with Cab at a very young age. I think I was like 14 years old. He started taking me around with him in the San Jose and the Powell dudes and all that stuff.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
Would you hit other parks? Like, did you go to Greer in that era? And like, I don't know, Derby or whatever was around in those earlier days of yours? Or were you just like Redwood City?
Yeah, Redwood City, you know, because I didn't really have like a set skate crew. Uh-huh. Until about that 14, 15 year old stage. So yeah, it was just Redwood City every day. But then once, you know, we got our little crew together, we were hitting like Sunnyvale, Santa Cruz, whatever, you know, wherever there was a skate park, Novato, whatever, you know.
How do you rank the NorCal parks? Like, what's your favorite park right now out of all the parks since you were a kid till now that like is up our way? Maybe from Ripon to Chico to Santa Cruz, like, you know, this whole area.
Well, number one's always going to be Phil Shaw. That's hometown, you know. So, I mean, St. Helena's really good. So the Santa Cruz Park is really good too. I think it's called Mike Fox, right? Mm. Yeah, that one. I like it because it has a full pipe. The San Jose Park's good, you know. You got to wear pads and all that stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if it was a little bit more free, then it'd be cool. I mean, Greer's always fun. Derby's always fun. See, what other parks?
Fremont.
That bowl, it's like a reverse Bondi. Oh no, it's like a replica of Bondi bowl.
Shout out to Fedge. I think that's his favorite.
Yeah, that bowl is. Yeah, I remember when that park got built, and I went there, I was like, damn, this is exactly like Bondi, except like the shallow is a little bit different.
Uh-huh. And it's a big waterfall, right?
Yeah. The one in Bondi has a big waterfall, and then the one in Fremont is a more mellow. But yeah, super fun bowl.
So what's like the first thing that you get for free?
Ever?
Maybe somebody that rode for a company, or a company sends you something or gives you something, like you're kind of like, whoa, I'm doing pretty good. And then, or maybe you won a contest and you got a board. Like, I don't know.
I believe it was Pete Piazza at Deluxe started giving me some real and anti-hero boards, which is funny because my first board was anti-hero, and I've always loved anti-hero. Like, the, you know, their whole distribution is such a rad company, you know, a group of dudes. So that was awesome to start, you know, getting just a whole like shop flow, I guess you would kind of say.
Fun chime in on that, because Pete Piazza, he called me, and so
you haven't mentioned your nickname back in that era.
Bowler Andrew.
Bowler Andrew.
Well, you
had
a
red helmet. And yeah.
Oh, because you skated the bowl.
I only skated the bowl.
When people would come and skate the park, because we were the local shop, or they had a Skatework sticker on his helmet or his board, or they'd be like, and I remember Piazza calling me like, hey, there's this little dude at the Redwood City Park, like, this red helmet. I'm like, yeah, that's Bowler Andrew. That's Andrew Lange, dude.
Was one of your big moves a Madonna early on?
Yeah.
Over the spine, too.
Yeah, over the spine. Like
you is this still a Madonna over the spine, or is that just a 1 foot? I don't know.
Yeah, whatever it is. Madonna, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Shout out, Pete. Brother. Thank you. Thank you, Jason Strubing, owner of Skateworks. You heard it here.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, he would give me, like, anti-aero reel boards and Spitfire stuff. So that was like, the one of the first times I ever got something for free for skateboarding. Mm-hmm.
And then what's your first, like, legit sponsor?
Like, actually on the team?
Yeah. Or were you getting flowed for a while?
I did get flowed for, I got flowed, like, by Almost for, you know, a short while. Then Girl Chocolate.
That's right. So what's that, let's talk about that. What's that like being on Flow as opposed to being, like, on the team? And you're with the, like, I mean, Mike Carroll's NorCal legend, right? So it's like, Mike's the best in my mind. You're with Girl, those guys are top notch.
Yeah.
So you're like, I could be on Flow for top notch, or I could be sponsored for maybe a little lesser. And like, how do you weigh that out, right?
Well, it's really intimidating, dude, because I did get to, like, skate with those dudes, and, like, they did, I remember I was on a trip down to LA, and they actually brought me back up with them to skate Wallenberg. I caught a ride back up with a lot of those dudes. But it's super intimidating because, you know, for me, I grew up watching, yeah, right, Girl Chocolate, and later learning about Mouse and all those videos.
Right.
It's super intimidating to, like, be around those guys and then, like, think that, like, oh, you know, like, they see a little bit of potential in you. But overall, it's like, it's rad, you know, like, I'd rather be Flow for a top-notch company than, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You never want to sell yourself short, you know? Mm. And all those dudes are just super rad, you know?
So was there a certain point where you're like, you got offered something and it was more legit and you, like, how did you go from there to wherever the next place was?
Unfortunately, with that, you know, it just didn't work out with Girl Chocolate, which I understand. It's a very super tight-knit company, you know, like Anti-Hero and all those dudes. It's hard to get in with those dudes and become part of that family. So, you know, they pretty much just was just like, yeah, you know, it's not going to work out, you know, but we can still hook you up until, you know, you find something. I was like, cool, yeah, no worries, you know, I get it. Mm-hmm. And then I was just kind of solo for a little while. Jamie Thomas had reached out to me, and which I was shocked, you know, like, what? Jamie Thomas? Mm-hmm. He had reached out to me and, like, wanted to hook me up with some boards, and I was like, yeah, cool, you know, I'm down. And then around the same time, I get a call from Jeff Rowley, and it's funny because, like, I get a call from him, and I'm like, hello. He's like, hey, this is Jeff Rowley with Flip. I want to, you know, this is Andrew. I was like, yeah, right, dude. And I hung up. I hung up on Jeff Rowley.
Damn.
Yeah. And then he called me back, and then he was like, no, this is really Jeff Rowley. Like, I want to see if we can send you some boards. And I told him no at that time because I'd already talking to Jamie Thomas and kind of wanted to see where that went. And I think I was maybe getting boards from Jamie for a couple months. And then Flip just kept coming after me.
Really?
Yeah, like, hard. Until they finally invited me on their Flip the Feast Tour. Flip in the East, the East Coast Tour. And I said, yeah, all right, I'll go just to see what the vibe's like, you know? And just after that trip, it
felt like home there. So
was the whole crew on that one?
Yeah, whole crew was.
Tom Penny and Bastion and.
Tom wasn't there, and Bastion wasn't on the team back then. But it was Bob Burnquist, Rune Glifberg, Jeff Rowley, Lance Mountain, Louis Lopez, Karen Caples, David Gonzalez,
Arto.
Arto, and Luan Oliveira. Just like, yeah, dude, I'm like, I'm on the tour bus just like, dude, I looked up to all these guys. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so it was cool and like skating all the spots with them. You know, it's like weird going on trips with people you don't know, you know, especially guys that you looked up to. But after that trip, you know, you get to know the people and you kind of, on a trip like that, you really figure out whether it's going to work or not long term. Mm-hmm. And with Flip, it was just everyone, we all clicked, you know, like we're all friends and it really made me feel at home there. So
was Ewan on that one?
Yeah, Ewan was on that one too. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ewan was the filmer for Flip at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he films for Thrasher now too.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. He's been the homie for a long time. What? How old were you around there? Is that like 15, 16 or?
No, I was at least 18, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So how when is the Paul Revere School contest, Buster Bale?
That was 2008, right? Yeah, 2008. Yeah. So. That was Girl Chocolate.
Oh, that was before Flip.
Yeah, that was Girl Chocolate. Sam Smythe was there. That was, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So.
That might, okay, so we go back a little bit because this is a huge day for you. Yeah. I knew you a little bit at that time, but I knew you probably as Bowler Lange, you know?
Yeah.
Andy L, I used to call him, Andy L. But I thought you were just a transition skater.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're doing nose grind, maybe 5-0, for sure front blunt, down the big ass rail that like, was like, what the fuck? How, this guy skates street? Like, he kills it on tranny, but like, all of a sudden he's chomping on this rail. And like, I mean, that was a huge day for you. Felper, like losing his mind. Yeah. You got all the top dogs. Scheckler had one of the best days of his life, like backside flipping the stairs.
Yeah.
Like, do you think if that thing wasn't happening and you went to that rail with your bros, would you have done the same shit, or was the energy pushing you like to another level that day?
Yeah, for sure. If I just went there with the homies, like none of that stuff would have went down, you know, like just like I didn't grow up skating street, you know, so like, but when I started getting sponsors, like, you know, like Girl Chocolate and stuff, they wanted me. The companies want to see the street because park footy and all that stuff wasn't all okay or as okay as it is now back then. So street, I had to learn street. So I started skating a lot of street. But that day, man, was, is the reason why all that, I was able to do all that stuff was because of the hype of that day. Just watching everybody rip, Felper being there, seeing John Cardiel, you know, like, I think for the first time ever, like I was like, dude, this is.
Was he DJing or was he just lurking?
I think he was lurking. Yeah. You can see him a couple of background pics. I think he has a green shirt on.
Like by Jake.
Yeah. Just seeing all the other skaters skating too. It's just like, you know, like I wasn't known at that time, you know. So I was just like skating with a bunch of dudes that like I watched in skate videos. So the hype was just top notch that day, you know. So. Yeah, it definitely was probably one of the best days of my life in skateboarding. Uh-huh. As far as where it put me in skateboarding.
Yeah, I was gonna say, so after that, is your phone ringing more? Are you getting like more attention, like photographers, video, sponsors, all that stuff? Like,
yeah, I did get a little bit more attention for sure. Yeah, definitely got, you know, some calls. What was so funny was like, I thought, okay, yeah, Sam Smythe there, you know, like Girl Chocolate. This definitely looks good, you know?
Yeah.
Didn't make the team, you know what I mean? After that day, but I was like, you know, it ended up working out. I got calls from a couple of different companies and some of them were just, didn't seem like the right fit and some, kind of seemed like, you know, they weren't too sure. They just wanted to like test out, and I didn't want to be one of those guys that just like went from sponsor to sponsor to sponsor. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because that to me, that's just I wanted to find a home and be there. Yep. You know, so I kind of you know, brushed off a few of them and waited.
Okay.
And that's when I, the Jamie Thomas and Flip stuff happened.
Flip era, is that kind of where you get on LRG too?
Yeah, around the same. Yeah, I was on LRG. I got on LRG right before, like in between Girl Chocolate, and going into, you know, Jamie Thomas and the Flip. So right in between that break is where I got on LRG. Mm-hmm. And that was a cool company too, you know.
Shout out Tyrone.
Yeah dude, Romero. Oh,
I love LRG, it was such fun. We went to that, I forget where that park was, but remember the skate park roundup day? It was like, maybe it was in the hood. It might've been by like where Theotis lives or something, but it had like that quarter pipe with like
Oh, the door?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, yeah.
It was in SoCal somewhere.
I don't know where, but
it was super fun. And then I flew back with Jack Curtin, who, it was just coincidence, and I didn't really know him at the time. I'm like, whoa, because we so it's like, it's cool just meeting all, that whole crew, and Chico, obviously legendary.
Yeah, dude.
Did you go on trips at all with them?
Yeah, I went on like a bunch of trips with those guys, and it was always so fun, like any trip with those dudes. It was so relaxed and like mellow. The vibes were always high, you know, like any skate spots we went to, everyone was always getting down and cheering each other on. And Chico's always there too, you know, like when Chico's there, like it's always a good time, you know, you get your trick or not. It's all laughs.
Yeah, he keeps it positive, fun,
and youthful. I mean, the guy's so impressive that he's however old he is, and he's just waking up every morning, riding a bike, surfing, skating every day, just every day doing it. And it's like, damn dude, I'm old and sore. Like I'm like, one day I'm like taking a week off, and Chica's like, no, you gotta keep rolling every day, you gotta power through it, like da da da. I was like, man.
Yeah,
so it's been inspirational watching Creepy Kyle. That was another Peninsula guy. Yeah.
Creepy Kyle, I haven't heard that nickname in so long.
Creepy Kyle, shout out.
Yeah.
But he was the filmer, right?
Yeah, he was filming.
Okay.
And yeah, having Kyle on the trips too was just like so, because like I would see him at Road City or like Sunnyvale all the time.
Yeah.
And no, you know, he was part of the Till Mode Skateworks family and stuff. So
mm-hmm.
It was always like close family and stuff. So yeah, trips were always fun.
So in that era, you moved to LA, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, and where did you live, Hollywood or?
I lived in Long Beach for a little bit at with David Gonzalez and Luan at the Flip House.
Was that the one with the ramp or no?
No, so David got that house after, and he got that house by himself.
Okay.
he was tired of having it. His house be the Flip House.
So you live with David and Luan.
Yeah.
Brazilian and Colombian.
Yeah, it's pretty hectic.
How was that? Yeah.
It was hectic. I mean, David's just playing the guitar like 3-4 in the morning, just drinking beers. And I'm like in the living room. He's playing it in the living room. My room's right there. And I'm just like, dude, we got to wake up and skate like tomorrow. Hecticness. And then, like, he would just wake up like, now you drink a little bit, you know, and wake up the next day and just smash a 20 stair, like 50-50, 5-0, whatever. I'm just like, bro, like, how do you do that? Like, that crew, and then Luan, crazy street skater, you know, mm-hmm. super technical, can jump down huge stuff, skate rails, you know, whatever it is. You got skills on tranny too. Yeah, living with those dudes was fun. Hectic, but fun.
Okay. And then you move from there to where?
To Hollywood. Okay. Yeah, not too far from Ardo's, so I would skate to Ardo's pretty frequently and skate his bull.
Fuck, yeah. That's sick. That was a fun bull.
Yeah, it was super rad. Those sessions were fun, yeah.
Talked to Curran about a week or two. I did an episode with him, and he was telling me that he lives kind of by there now. And he's like, dude, that pool is still skatable. Like, we could take the water out and just have a session. And Arto would be in Hawaii losing his mind.
Dude, does Arto still own that house?
No, but he'd be like, what? You guys are skating my bowl. So you were, you're older than Curran and Louis? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
By maybe like 5 years, I think.
Uh-huh.
Man, those two, I loved hanging out with those dudes. Every time I'd go down to LA before I moved down there, I would fly down and stay with Louis at his at his house with his mom and dad and Goldie. I don't know if you met Goldie, but yeah.
Louis' dad's the best.
Dude, his family is so rad, dude. Yeah, you know, like, yeah,
I've Big known Lou. Those kids since they were so little. Yeah. And watched them grow. I mean, big shout out to those guys. Like, Louis should be Skater of the Year every year.
Dude.
During the last 2 years has been just like, whoa, kind of like when I saw you skating that rail.
Yeah.
Curran started doing some street stuff. He was kind of known as a transition skater.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're like, oh, he's taking it to the streets.
Yeah,
and
dude.
You're like, dude, this is sick.
Yeah, once he found his legs, like, he realized, like, oh, I can really skate street really good, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously the tranny is like, oh, you know, like the crowd pleaser, but watching him skate street, I think is
And he has that style,
rad.
Almost like Phil, that is almost a disadvantage because he makes things look too easy.
Yeah.
Like, he's just so smooth, got good style, and you're like, was that hard? Yeah, it was hard as a 22 stair. Like, no, fuck. It was like, yeah. Whoa.
Like, your arms
sleeping.
Are down at
you
the sides.
You know?
But yeah, no, him and Louis are sick. Flip, that whole era was fucking tight. Like, Jeff's the best.
Yeah.
Arto's the best. Fucking Tom's the best. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, those videos, we used to wake up every morning and watch Apple Yard's part to Placebo to start our day. And I was like, I didn't even know who Placebo was.
Yeah.
And then the next day I'm at the Placebo concert because I'd watched that fucking part so many times.
Yeah, it was such a trip getting on Flip because as a kid, what I grew up on was Yeah Right, Hot Chocolate, and the Flip Sorry videos and the DC video.
Mm-hmm.
So like watching those videos, like watching Flip Sorry, like I used to watch that every day, like the Sorry and Really Sorry. I used to watch those religiously, like growing up. And like, it was crazy to like think that like after, like, you know, maybe 6 years after that video came out, that like I would be hanging out with these dudes, you know, like such a mind blown moment. Like that's why, like, when I got the call from Jeff, like, I was like, yeah, this is not Jeff, dude. I
hung up on him.
Yeah, that's what Kern said, that Jeff drove to his house and they went out to dinner, like, with his family and, like, showed, like, I want this guy, you know.
Yeah.
Jeff's, like, a solid dude.
If he wants you, he'll get you,
So did you, what was your connection with filming and photography and stuff? Were you getting photos? Were you filming a video part or getting clips for random videos or?
You know, I was filming, but like it was always on trips. So like whatever filmer was on the trip with us was, you know, those are the clips that I got. When I was home, I would go out with Kyle, Creepy Kyle, whenever I could. Jeff Landy would come out from Sacramento, or I'd go up to Sacramento. Then I had some homie filmers and stuff, but a lot of the times, like when I was home from trips, it'd be for a short amount of time, then I'd be back on the road to go skate a contest or something.
Mm-hmm.
Ears was like the guy who kind of took me under the wing and kind of took me to all the contests and stuff. So like he had me on the contest run for a little while. The whole Buster Bill thing was his idea. I didn't even want to skate it. We had drove up from P-Rod's place the night before. We were down there skating with Tori and Tori Pudwell, Justin Schulte, you know, at P-Rod's old Mountain Dew Park.
Uh-huh.
And we, I thought Blue Turner was with us too.
Oh, same.
Yeah, shout out Blue. Ears comes up to me, he's like, yeah, you're gonna skate this 18 stair contest in SF like in 2 days. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm like, who's skating it? Like, what kind of contest is this? Like, it's a Thrasher contest, and like, you know, Paul's gonna be there and Sheckler and all these dudes, Nyjah. I was like, dude, there's no way I'm going to that contest, dude. There's no way. And then drove up the next day. Blue stayed at my house, and then we drove. I actually got super plastered the night before because I didn't care about the contest that much.
Mm-hmm.
And woke up super hungover, still kind of drunk at the contest, which I probably where I got my balls from to do some of the stuff that I did. But it was.
So before that, had you skated a rail that close to that size?
A 10 stair.
10
stair? Yeah, it was the small ones in SF. Was it the Lincoln? not Lincoln, Jefferson rails.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was the biggest rail I'd ever seen.
And so what made Justin think, like, this was going to be a good idea?
I don't know. He just told me, he's like, do like a feeble or something.
Langy, you can do this.
Yeah.
So tell me about that day. Like, are you chilling for a while and watching it and kind of freaking out? Or are you right in, right out of the gates? Like, I don't really remember the scenario of, like, because there was kind of like, okay, Gravette skating it with Devin Apello, and then Scheckler showed up, and Hoops is there dressed like the fucking crazy. I'm like, who's this kook? And I love Hoops, but I saw, that was the first time I met him. I was like, who's this guy dressed like Napoleon or whatever he was dressed like?
I think they were filming for like Ryan's TV show at that time, I think. That could have been part of it, but.
What's your recollection of that day? Like, once you're there, how early are you there? Do you show up and it's already going, or was it kind of early before a lot of people got there?
So I show up before anything starts, where everyone's, you know, Phelps is at the top of the stairs telling everybody, like, we watched Homeboy try to board slide it and just scorpion.
Ooh, that's right, Jason.
Yeah, dude.
He started it off.
Yeah.
Shaka!
Yeah, but then I remember Phelps was just like, we're all standing at the bottom. Phelps says, do not, if you come up these stairs, you have to skate down. If you're not gonna skate down, don't come up these stairs. So, you know, I went up the stairs and I looked at it once and I was like, all right, no warm up, here we go, you know? So, and then I went for, you know, feeble, I think the first try. Yeah, it was just right off the bat, like,
feeble first go.
Yeah, first go. Missed it. Got it second try. And then went crook first try. Smith first try. Nose grind second try. And I think front blunt took me maybe like 10 tries.
Talk about a day. How connected to the people that are skating are you at that time? Like, do you know everyone or not really?
Not personally.
So yeah. Any weird reactions, like, I don't know, Scheckler's like, damn, dude, or like, I don't know, anything where you're like, whoa, like.
Yeah, fucking Reynolds dapped me up, dude. I'm like, what? That was pretty sick. I was like, dude, getting daps from Reynolds, because I grew up watching Baker 3-2. Uh-huh. That was another favorite growing up, too. And watching him do a frontside flip for the first time in real life like that was just heavy, dude.
That was the cover, right?
Yeah, the flick, the catch, and then just, the way he landed too was just so soft, which is so crazy for how tall that stair set is, you know what I mean?
Imagine being so good at frontside flips that you kind of don't want to do them anymore.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I've already done, like, fuck, you know? It's like a tray flip. To me, like, if I could do tray flips, like real good ones, you just want to do that all the time.
That's how I felt about Madonna's. Didn't want every wall.
Yeah. Well, shit. So what kind of like, I don't really know what happens from your LA time. Maybe you moved back to Redwood City, or did you move to Chico? Like, in that area, I don't really know what happened.
Yeah. So like towards the end of like my kind of like skateboarding career, I kind of just got to a place where I didn't really care anymore, you know? It started becoming a job. I was kind of being told what to skate, you know, and what I can skate, or this photo is not good enough, or you need to go skate this 20 stair rail. I'm like, dude, like, I'm a transition skater. Like, I love skating training. I understand you guys want me to skate street, but like, that's not like gonna showcase what my talent, what you guys like me for, you know what I mean? And it started becoming like a job, and it started making me hate the one thing that I love, you know? And the whole reason why I got into skateboarding was because I felt so free, and I could skate wherever I want, however I want, whenever I want it, you know what I mean? And yet there was just some I'm not gonna name names, but some companies were like, you gotta do this, you have to skate this, you have to wear this, you have to, you know, like, and it got me to a point where I didn't realize it, but I started partying a lot. And I just kind of didn't care if I lost anything, you know what I mean? Because in the end, I'd still have skateboarding. I was bummed though, you know, a little bit, because it was a fun ride, but in the end, like, I'd rather lose that part of skateboarding than lose the part that I love.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So.
And so, do you move back to NorCal somewhere?
Yeah, I moved back to Redwood City after Hollywood.
And then did you blow out your leg or something?
No, so that's not for like a couple like years.
Because I remember seeing you skating Chico, like getting it back, and you're like, dude, I'm getting it back. Mm-hmm. So you moved back to Redwood City first?
Yeah, I moved back to Redwood City. I'm there for...
Just watching the Giants win 2010, 2014.
Dude. Yeah, I moved back in 2012, the year that they won that year too. So that was rad. Those were fun years, going to the parade and stuff. But yeah, I moved back 2012, and I was there till about, I think, 2018. Working here at the shop and just enjoying skateboarding with the homies, you know? Like, really, there was a time where I stopped skateboarding because I hated it so much because of what the industry did to my experience with it, that I stopped for a little while and took a break from it. But then, you know, I started skating again and got a job here at Skateworks, and then started falling in love with skateboarding again, with, you know, teaching kids how to skate, and found how to love it again, you know, and fell back in love with it. And then I was here till about 2018. So that's from I started maybe 2012 here. Shortly after I moved back, started skate lessons here. Did skate lessons to about 2018. 2018 is where I broke my femur bum in the hip.
That's what it was, yep.
Yeah, so.
Where was that?
That was in San Bruno. There's a hill that I used to love to bomb. And I would do it at night because there's no one around. It's four-way stops.
Which street is
all
it?
All the way down. I forget the name of the street, but it's kind of like Dolores, but...
It's not Truesdale, right?
Not Truesdale. Okay. I've done that one, though. That
was, yeah, Eric J. used to ball that one. I was like, that was gnarly.
That one's a fun one, too.
Yeah.
I forget the name of the street, but it's like I would skate from... my grandma's house was like right down the street, so I would skate from her house all the way up to the top and then just bomb it a couple times, you know, after work, just to get some, you know, adrenaline, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
The best part about skateboarding is going straight fast down a hill.
Yeah, see how fast you can maintain.
Yeah.
What happened? Did they have to get an ambulance or... Yes. Was it a gnarly crash?
So my homie wanted to bomb the hill with me, so he drove to the top, and I was like, all right, you follow me down, I'll follow you down next time in the car. And I bomb it the first time, then I go back up, he bombs it, go back up, I bomb it. The second time I'm bombing it, all the way at the bottom, by the time you hit the bottom, you're going about like 50, you know, 45, almost 50. There's a four-way stop at the bottom. I see I'm hitting like the third roller right before the last one, and this truck is doing what looks to be a left turn, and then stops in the middle of the in the intersection, and it's a long bed truck that takes up the whole intersection. I'm like, all right, well, are you gonna keep going? Because I'm coming down pretty fast, and I see that it's just making a slow U-turn to park in front of the corner house that's on the right. By the time I get down to the bottom, the truck is making that turn towards the corner. I tried to thread the needle around it, and because I was going so fast, like either way I was going to be fucked. I tried to thread the needle around the front of the car and then swerve past the parked car, but I clipped the front part of the truck, and that sent me into the parked car at like 45 maybe plus an hour. I just remember waking up and like trying to move my leg. Like I completely knocked out. I woke up trying to move my leg, and I just see like half my leg come up, but I'm like, my leg's broken, you know, like my femur. And I realized my bone's sticking out of my leg. It was a compound fracture.
Oh, shit.
I pushed the bones back in, through the pants, everything. My friend's like, got out of the car. He's like, are you okay? Like, you want me to call 911? I was like,
yeah, but film it first. And so he got a couple of videos and then called 911. Ambulance showed up. I thought I was going to lose my leg that night. It was pretty crazy because I know with compound fractures, it's pretty easy to get like an infection.
Yeah.
And lose your leg. And luckily, none of my tendons tore. The only thing that the doctor said was that like I was maybe like a quarter inch of a way of severing my femoral artery from the compound fracture. So that was like scary because I could have bled out there, which would have sucked.
How long did that put you out?
8 months to a year, but I didn't wait 8 months. I waited. I got back on the board earlier. And then I broke my leg again within a year.
Oh, same leg.
Same leg, but but the lower part of my leg snapped my femur in half, got a rod, titanium rod, which the surgeon said the rod almost didn't fit my femur because I'm so tall.
Oh shit.
So yeah, that was tight. And then that was October 6th, and then October 6th, 18, October 9th, the following year, 2019, I had a tibia plateau fracture. So the top of the knee just like split down the middle of my right leg.
Fuck.
Yeah. Had a metal plate put in there. And then I think I had 4 screws going up like the tibia and then 14 screws at the top of the knee.
Damn.
Yeah. So it was pretty hectic. There's my mom and my niece, and my nephew.
Shout out moms.
They got the whole fam here.
They know Jason, right?
Yeah, they know Jason, yeah.
Nice. So did that detour you at all? Like, or were you again back on your board sooner than you should be? Or was that like, dude, I gotta fucking wait this time?
Ah, man, dude, like I wanted to be stubborn again and like just like I can get back on the board earlier, but I did do everything right. I went through the physical therapy and I took my time with it, started off slow, and I did get back into it to a very comfortable place. I was wearing pads, skating bowl up in Chico and stuff, and the only thing is though, it's like having
confidence.
The confidence was there, like the only thing was like breaking your leg twice and having that kind of twice in 1 year, and then having that that kind of traumatic injury on one part of your leg, it kind of never comes back the same. So the muscle's not the same from the femoral my femur break separated, my muscle separated from the bone, so that's always hard to build. The muscle back, the knee muscle's hard to build back. It's a constant battle of just getting it back to 60%. You know what I mean? So
what's it like being in Chico?
I know.
One of the biggest party schools in the country, and you're not really able to skate and probably in a little bit of pain. How are you battling like the urge to like wake up and go to the bar versus like rehab type stuff? Like that seems like maybe not the best place for you to be when you're partying.
Well, so I had moved up there with the previous girlfriend that I was dating. So during that time, like I didn't really care to go party. I just wanted I just wanted to get healthy again,
Okay.
So like it wasn't hard. Like and plus I was like 28. Like what am I gonna do? Go hang out with a bunch of 21 year olds? Like that's kind of like that was weird. It'd be weird at that time. You know what I mean? So I'm 34 now, but it wasn't hard at all. It was it was nice living up there because I had a lot of homies, or I still have a lot of homies that are like older, the skate the bull and stuff. So I always hung out with those dudes. I didn't really hang out with too many people that were my age.
I feel like, did you
open a shop or worked at a shop? There was something about a shop up there.
Yeah, so one of the homies that opened up a shop called Love Skate Shop up there. It was short-lived.
But you had the experience from Skateworks.
Yeah, so he, you know, he asked me to come work there and then like asked me like, oh, what, you know, just basically like what to buy or what's cool and stuff like that. I'm like,
call Frankie.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, dude.
I know a guy.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was short-lived. I worked at another skate shop as well. You know, I didn't really have too much of a serious job up there. I did some skate camps up there too with the city.
Yep.
Which was pretty cool.
What was your relationship with Jake? You knew him pretty good, right?
Yeah. I mean, not as well as like most people, but like, you know, well enough.
Obviously, you were on his radar at least starting that day.
Yeah, I remember.
If he knew you too well before that, but he sure as hell knew you from that moment on.
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah, he had no clue who I was until that day, and I remember seeing him again at Skate of the Year party. I think it was the year Leo won. I'm pretty sure it was Leo Romero won, right? Leo won, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember seeing him there that night, and he was like, "Hey, bust your barrel," you know, like in his classic style, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, "You remember me, dude? Like, that's so cool."
He
like,
was good at making you feel bad for doing something good.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're the Ripper.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
He was hyping you up.
Yeah. And then he's like, yeah, let's get a picture. And I remember there's a picture somewhere on Thrasher from one of those, from that year that of us together. And then, you know, all the Skate of the Years after that, we're always seeing each other. But I always see my portrayal too and stuff.
And we saw you in Copenhagen.
Copenhagen, yeah. I was wearing
The Giants jacket.
Yeah. Yeah, had a rep it out there, you know what I mean? Yeah, that was cool. That was my first time to Copenhagen. I remember seeing you guys out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a rad time. Yeah.
They had the fire. They lit the car on fire. They had the ring of fire.
Yeah, we won't say who lit it on fire, but that was rad.
Yeah.
I think there's a picture of like me talking to Neckface, and then.
Next thing you know.
Yeah, and then with the car on fire in the background. Man, yeah, that was a rad trip. Like. Especially seeing a lot of you guys out there from the Bay.
Yeah.
Peter Remendetta was out there too.
Mm.
I haven't seen Peter in a long time. But yeah, that was a fun trip.
Another highlight for me that sticks out is skate park roundup vans. We went to Bucky Lassick's.
Yeah.
And Jake's like, you got a blunt in the, you know?
He was
egging you on to like, Langy, blunt over here.
Yeah, I was like the only dude like skating with no pads and a 14-foot bowl, you know? So I was just like,
big freaking bowl.
I'm gonna skate wall to wall like a vert wall, you know what I mean? Like I did cruise around, but like, you know, I didn't have the skills to skate a bowl that big. But Felfer was just like, he's always like the hype man, you know? Like that's what I miss about like seeing a lot of contests today is like seeing like him being like right up there in the front and like hyping everybody up. It's like, you gotta land that shit. You gotta land that shit now. Like, man, that ultimate hype, dude. But yeah, that day at Bucky's, he was telling me, fucking nose grinding, do it, blunt fakie. You know, like, yeah.
Yeah, I miss his fire. He used to come into my office every morning and be like, when's it going up?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Is it done? Like, you know, just like, dude, I just start working on it. What do you mean? Like,
yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a tough day when we lost him. Did you hear the news, any story about that, or how did you find out that he had passed?
I found out through Peabody.
Bod.
Yeah, the Bod. I'd heard a rumor about it, and then I had messaged him on social media, and then he confirmed it. It was pretty gnarly. I didn't tell anybody, or you know. But, yeah, that was pretty gnarly news, you know, like... We didn't spend a lot of time together, but like, you know, hung out enough, like at like skate parks and stuff to be super bummed about it. You know, like to me, like he was the face of skateboarding or is the face of skateboarding. To me, losing him was weird, you know, like it was kind of weird to see how it was going to be after, you know.
You got a baby.
I do.
Married or just?
Not yet, working on that part.
Okay, so how did that all go down? You guys met how long ago?
Yeah, so when mommy and daddy love each other. No.
Mind blown.
We met a couple years ago. And
is she from the Bay Area?
She grew up in Fremont.
Oh, okay.
We always talk about it, probably cross paths. She's probably walking by Fremont Skate Park and probably saw each other. And then, we met a couple years ago and we got together. And yeah, we always said, like, you know, like, we always wanted a family. We wanted it with each other. Mm-hmm. Whether it comes in order of getting married, then having the family, or having the family, then getting married, it's all part of the plan. And our beautiful little girl, Kaya Ray Longy, was born May 5/15/25, so.
You have Samoan in you, or?
Tongan. So I'm half Tongan, half Hawaiian.
Oh, half Hawaiian.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good mixture.
Polynesian,
I need to retire in Hawaii, man. I'm trying to get out there with sand and just chilling.
You know, I do work for an airline. I got those flying benefits, you know what I mean? So
how's that going, though, really? Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
Are you on the ground?
What happened? Power outage.
This is Kern Caples, and you're listening to Talking Schmidt.
Put your names in the credits.
Yeah. I worked the ground, so I'm a ramp agent for an airline. I'm not gonna say which one,
SFO.
But yeah, at SFO.
Sick.
So yeah, I mean, it's pretty rad. The adrenaline I get from working flights is kind of almost the same as, like, you know, skateboarding. It's very fast paced, a lot of dangerous things can happen and stuff.
You're responsible for my shit going to the wrong country.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So yeah, that's actually literally my job. So I'm a ramp lead. So like I plan out all your flights. I plan out where your bags go. I make sure your bags all get on. Mm-hmm. And then I do the weight and balance too, is to make sure that the aircraft is weighed evenly. So, you know, when you're up in the air, the aircraft is safe. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you get benefits. You can fly for, like, pay tax on flights or something?
Nah, free flights. Yeah.
Free?
Yeah, free. Standby. Okay. Fly to Hawaii for the day
if I wanted. Have you
done it? Yeah. Yeah, I've flown a lot of places, yeah.
That's cool. Dude, yeah. That's a dream.
Yeah,
so
I think.
Just keeping it going, then you got it for the family, too, probably.
Yeah. Both families on it, so. Yeah. So, we're going to take Kaya on our first trip next February. We're going to bring her to Hawaii. It's my lady's birthday too, so we've done it every year so far since we met, so we're gonna start, I think we're gonna make that our tradition as a family, is to Hawaii every
island. What's your island? Which island are you going to?
We usually go to Oahu.
We
might mix it up to island hop.
But
it's a cool family place, you know. It'll be fun to do every year.
Yeah. You know? What are the, like, I know you're not going to be a skate dad where you're, like, forcing them to skate or forcing them to play baseball, like, letting them kind of just do what, all right, but, like, what are some, like, dreams you're having right now of, like, I can't wait for this, or, like, the first steps, like, what do you think? I know it's 2 months, so, like, the whole future is ahead of you, like, it's only been 2 months, but, like, what is, like, within, I don't know, what are you thinking, like, oh, man.
You know, like, in this 2 months, you have a lot to, like, really think about, like, you know, the future of your child and what it could look like or what it could be. And it's, you know, like, it could be anything, you know. And, like, all I want for my daughter is the best, you know. Obviously, I'm already starting her on watching skate videos, so. And she seems to be intrigued. She does, you know, when she's crying, I'll put on some skate videos on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes Thrasher videos or X Games, and as soon as that comes on, she hears the wheels rolling and she just turns her head and is glued to the TV. So that's a good sign. I would like for her to be a skater, whatever she chooses, you know. Like, I just want her to be happy and successful, you know, and I want to support her through whatever endeavor that may be.
I have to. I don't have kids, but my brother had two, and I lived with him through the beginning stages of both. And one of the coolest things for me to see was when
this infant that can barely, like, they can't talk, they can't communicate, they can recognize a song. And there's a certain song that clicks, and you start realizing when they're having a tough day, play that song, and it's magic, man. I'm just like, music is like, it's so cool. So you got a lot ahead of you. It's going to be a fun ride for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, like right now it's a little rough. You know, I think we slept each maybe an hour and a half last night. So
your schedule changes. It's all work and all family right now.
Yeah, like, all in. You know, just got to sav it out. It's something I've always wanted to be as a father. So like I'm excited for this journey and you know what's to come. You know,
how much are you paying attention to skateboarding right now? Like, are you watching video parts and looking at the mags and stuff?
I haven't bought a mag in a while, but I am paying attention to, like, you know, the videos. I'm definitely keeping up with every Thrasher video that comes out. I'm looking every day.
Who's killing it this year? Who are you like, damn, that was a sick part?
Dude, you know, Curran's part was really sick. That front side flip to like power slide halfway down the wall, dude.
In Philly, right?
Yeah, dude. Man, that was just amazing. Floyd's always killing it. I try to keep up as much as I can.
And you're still rolling around?
Haven't rolled around in a little while, but just dad mode, work mode, provide mode.
If you're looking back at your whole life, what is one thing that comes to mind pretty quickly when I ask you what the best thing you saw on a skateboard in person was?
Best thing I ever saw? Shoot, that's hard, dude. Because skating with a lot of the dudes that, like, I was blessed to skate with was, man, you see a lot of crazy things. Mm. There's one from Bob. When I skated Bob's house, that was pretty gnarly.
At the Mega Ramp?
Yeah, the Mega Ramp. Dude, just padless, no warm-up. Just like, here, you just want to cruise over like this. And then, like, next run, just crooked grinds the rainbow rail. Padless. In jeans, just fresh out the house. Oh. And then hits 540 on the quarter. Best. It's like,
You skated that ramp?
Yeah.
Did you do the transfer?
I went to the Trida Gap, and then I looked at it, I was like, nah. But then I ended up skating the quarter pipe, and I got a nose grind on that one.
Padless.
Oh,
shit. Yeah, yeah. That's a big fucking thing.
Burnett shot a sequence of it. I don't know if you ever ran it, but...
Huh.
Yeah. That one was pretty gnarly. David Gonzalez has one. There's this 20 rail in SF that when he had came up and... The flip guys came up, and we went and skated. Dude, he backside... It was in his flip... possessed a skate part, backside 50-50, grass on
the, against the wall?
Not on the wall. It was a rail, and then it had like green grass on the side down a hill, rough landing. I forget the name of the school, but that was an SF. That was pretty gnarly.
I filmed David do the fucking big kinker in SF.
The double.
That day was insane. Like, Dan Z took us there.
Yeah.
And we look at it, and I'm like, no fucking way.
Yeah, that doesn't look real.
And he starts playing with it, and it's like, there's no way. And then all of a sudden, he gets on one and goes through the first kink, and he's like, I can do it.
He's just like, oh, fuck yeah, I can do that.
Let's go,
rock and roll. Yeah. We're going to party tonight. Yeah. That's what he always used to say,
Dave,
man.
I hope you're doing well. I see you out there on the gram, and I'm worried about you.
Yeah, shout out W, man. Mm-hmm. Get back on that board if you can.
Were you at any of the gnarly rolly ones? Like, were you, like, the cover where he's fucking ollieing out to the hubba?
Nah.
I think that was France. So that's insane.
Nah, never was around for those ones, man. There's a list of gnarly things.
Skateboarding, like, we're privileged to see so many things. I always go to Danny Way jumped off the guitar at the Hard Rock.
Yeah.
At that time, I was still pretty green. Like, they flew me out there to shoot it. And I'm like, I'm gonna fuck this up, dude. He's doing, like, what? Like, I was so nervous. And for him to do that, and I was there, and Danny's one of the all-time greats,
that one comes to mind real quick.
Yeah.
But there's so many, obviously, and it's hard to rank them all. But just like sometimes there's one that will just be like, oh, dude. And it might not be the best one, but it's just like what you think of right away.
Speaking of Danny Way, like the Mega Ramp or the Mega Ramp stuff, watching Danny Way skate a Mega Ramp is pretty gnarly. Mm. But I remember watching Lincoln Ueda try to do the like a 20-foot just body jar on that quarter, and I was like, that just him trying that is like he like smacked the tail and like rode down a little bit. But I feel like that try is the attempt of that is better than landing any other trick.
Watching
to be honest,
Lincoln skate is amazing. I mean, when we would do those Ramona contests, he would fly so much higher than everyone, and just like width and height.
Yeah.
And like alley oop, like body jars and shit, just like wah, ka-ting, like sick.
Now,
people don't. I don't think people respect the vert that much anymore. Like you said, a lot of people need to go to the streets, but like the vert skating is, you know, you go out with the right guys and you will be impressed.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, I'd like to think that it's making a comeback. I mean, like just watching Tom Schar's last part, I mean, that was
Tom
fire, dude.
To the next level.
Yeah, I definitely like watching Tom skate, you know.
Yeah, and he's a good dude, like solid guy, like nice, keeps his humble. Yeah, dude. Well, what else? Is there anything else we should know about? You've got a vibe for this year's Giants? You've been paying attention to the baseball?
Man, the only thing I'm paying attention to is my kid right now. Okay. I'm trying, though. Like, I do watch a few games, man, but, like, yeah, just having the blessing of being able to have a family and a daughter, man, it's just, you kind of lose sight of everything else that it's really not that important, and then you kind of just zone in on.
Okay.
On
if
that.
You're at home Friday night, she says, we have free dinner tonight anywhere we want for delivery. What do you order?
Chef Choose.
What is it?
Chef Choose.
What's that?
That is a
Chinese
restaurant that's actually right down the street from this shop. The homie this homie's family owns it. Gourmet Chinese food. It's my favorite type of food. My lady's favorite type of food.
Where do you go with?
We would do basil beef, dragon wings, chicken chow mein classic, chicken fried rice, their homemade pot stickers are amazing, some wonton soup, what else? There's and some dumplings. It's nice.
Sounds good. Love it. Oh, we've been eating Detroit pizza lately.
Detroit?
Yeah, it's like the square one with the thick bread.
Oh, yeah,
We just got into it, and there's a place it delivers that's really good. Hey, Jason.
Yo.
You got one question for him before we wrap this up?
Oh, man.
Oh, here we go. He's going to embarrass me.
I want to give a big shout out to Jason Struving, the whole Struving family, Skateworks, Los Altos, California, Santa Cruz, California. They've been doing it longer than I've been skating, which is a long time. So we got Jason coming in he knows this guy pretty well.
The guy that took care of me.
Good ender question. It's Jerry Sue and bag of
stuff. Man, put me on the spot. One question for Lengus Khan.
Yeah. The worst nickname I could probably ever have.
Lengus Khan or
Bowler Andrew.
Bowler Andrew?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same one that I think everyone asks. You ever going to get that fucking tooth fixed?
Never, dude. I'm rocking it till I die,
Come on, talk to Andy's. Get some veneers in there.
Nah, I'm rocking it, dude. It's. I don't want to take, you know, it's a trademark now.
All right. Fair enough.
There you go.
Thank you again for having us. Mm-hmm. Jason, man, I love
Great
you, man.
Great to see you. Your daughter's beautiful.
Thank you.
Let's do a quick this or that.
All right.
Dog or cat?
Dog.
Surfing or mountain bike?
Surfing, dude. Surf.
Mountain board.
Surfing for sure.
Movies or TV shows?
Movies.
Chinese or pizza?
Oh, that's tough because we both like the...
Chef Choose, come on.
Yeah, I have to go Chinese for sure.
Chef
Chinese.
Choose.
Chinese for sure.
Chef Choose, I want some. I want to try this. I'm coming for you.
San Mateo or Redwood City?
Redwood City.
Redwood City.
Easy,
that's a wrap.
Yes.
Thank you. We finally
Thank
did
you.
It.
Thank you. Yes.
We've
Appreciate
talking about
you.
This for a while.
Yeah.
This is
Glad
the homie Andrew Lange. Thanks again to Skateworks, everybody. We're out of here.
Yes, sir.
Go Giants.
Bless them.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Oro Coffee. That's some damn good coffee. Order one or six bags at orocoffeeroasters.com.
Y'all like music? Because you're listening to SMFM.
What's up, extended family? What's up? What do we got tonight? I know last episode you got a peek behind the curtain. You know what I'm talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about. Go back and watch that Midnight Confessions episode, backed with Greg Lutzka.
Lutzka.
Cool word. I'm doubling down on the power pop this episode, people. Power pop with the BPMs from San Francisco, California. If I'm going to talk skateboard talk, think of the odd numbers, maybe even. But just listen to the BPMs and hear for yourself the beautiful majesty of their hooks. This song is called Gravity by the BPMs.
I know what comes up must come down. Top when you hit the ground. You say you're having such a blast, trying to make it last. Gravity just brings me down. Gravity is all around. Go on, push me away.
That was some catchy, hot shit. And here at SMFM, we only serve the hottest, catchiest shit up. For you new listening pleasure, SMFM, where you hear your new favorite band. And that new favorite band was the BPMs from San Francisco, California. You want to find out more about them? You want to go follow them? As usual, get at these groups on Instagram. At the dot BPMs, right there. All right, that song is called Gravity. And if you're in the San Francisco area, and maybe you want to get a tattoo, maybe you'll go to Let It Bleed Tattoo. Let's just say you might see a BPM member there. Maybe you want to get your earring pierced, or you want to take your earring out, pierce that earring, and then pierce your other ear. You're going to go to Cold Steel, and you might even find a BPM's member at that upstanding establishment. I'm thinking of an earring, actually. I'm going to pop on this thing one time, and it's going to be like, pew! Anywho, I digress. Thanks for watching, listening to SMFM. on Talking Schmidt. I'm going to come back next time with some more music. Last two episodes were power pop. I like to mix it up. I've been going heavy on Canada this season. Let's see what I bring in next week. See ya.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at talkingschmidt.com. where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes, with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at talkingschmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout-out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa.
Shout-out.
Love it!
This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.
Keep the wheels greased.